Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
If you're having trouble writing your intro or writing your headline or writing your experience section, put it down. Go write something else. Come back to it. If you really think that by Saturday morning I'm going to finish my intro, come hell or high water, then on Tuesday, write one edition of it. Save it on your screen. Wednesday, when you're fresh again, write another edition of it. Save it on your screen. Take about 5 or 6 different iterations of that section. Take a yellow highlighter, an old-fashioned yellow highlighter. Highlight the best in each page that you've printed, and then merge them together. It works every time.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust too that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Lindsay Dix of Celebrity Sites and with Rob Rawson, CEO and co-founder of Time Doctor. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Mark Halpern, who's a LinkedIn branding expert, also an e-commerce expert, a book author, a coach, and a speaker. For over 10 years, Mark has used LinkedIn as a focal point in his cash flow optimization consulting business for marketing, for publicity, for education, and for communication. He found that it's an ideal way to connect to collaborate, which is the name of one of his other businesses. He can directly attribute new business to his LinkedIn profile and activity on LinkedIn. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, that's InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal client. That requires absolute clarity about who your ideal clients are and how you can help them. To help you get that clarity about your ideal client, take a look at our Marketing Master Mini Class, where in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Access the Marketing Master Mini Class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Mark talked to me about using LinkedIn to build relationships and to nurture relationships. He explained how to construct a power profile telling your personal story and highlighting your value. And he shared some secret tips to maximize the effectiveness of LinkedIn, beginning with your why. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Mark Halpert. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from the greater New York City area in the USA, Mark Halpert, who's a LinkedIn branding expert, an e-commerce expert, a book author, a coach, and a speaker. Welcome to the podcast, Mark. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Jane Bedell, who was our guest on episode 239 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Mark. So a big hello to Jane.
Be sure to pass that along. I see her all the time.
Yeah. Now, as a LinkedIn coach and trainer, you help make LinkedIn a power tool for marketing any business, and it's a focal point for branding and for business. You've written 2 books on LinkedIn marketing techniques, so I'm really looking forward to digging into that today. And also, you've since you left the corporate finance world back in 2001, you've started 3 companies. You still operate those 3 companies, and I'm sure that LinkedIn
is a key part of the marketing strategy of growing those companies and sustaining that business. But before we start talking about all things business growth and marketing and LinkedIn, tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, some of the key moments that got you to where you are today.
Okay, sure. So looking back over a career since 1979, I was a banker. I was a corporate treasury manager. I was in a lot of big corporations. Got to the point where the last company I worked at was in play. It was acquired by a Dutch company. They offered me a position in the Netherlands. Very flattered. However, my daughter was a rising high school senior, and it really was not the time to take her out of her environment and take her to the Netherlands. So I turned it down and had always wanted to go into business for myself in some sort of consulting role. Started as a consultant to help smaller organizations get paid electronically, getting paid by credit card, and as we call on this side, ACH, which is e-check or electronic checking. We are far behind the rest of the world in this country on ACH, although we're quickly adapting. Most people never heard of that or didn't really understand how to use it. Then we started doing it online, which was completely unheard of in 2001 at the company I was at. I decided it was a technology that really had legs. It really had an opportunity in the greater market. So I decided to begin to introduce it to contacts that I had. Anybody who would introduce me to anybody that would be willing to listen to this newfangled, crazy technology called the internet, and money was going to move, and you were going to get paid in 2 business days. Isn't that wonderful? And then we get September 11th, 2001. And this country fell. The banking system came to a dead halt on that day, because in the old days, checks were physically transported in the bellies of airplanes from one bank to another, from one financial center to another. And like Australia, we're a big country. And so there were banks in New York were shipping physical checks to San Francisco, to banks, you know, out there. And the planes were flying. And our Fed decided that we have to do something about that. And we can't do physical presentment anymore. It has to be electronic. So it was great. But everybody was licking their wounds about how horrible things were, and they didn't want to start anything new or talk about anything new because we were just so shell-shocked. It took a long time to get people to want to open up. What opened people up to electronic transactions was tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, natural disasters, where Red Cross was allowing donors to make donations online, and people got comfortable with it. And that really helped sort of bring it to the level of corporate-to-corporate payments or B2B payments as opposed to just consumer-to-consumer payments. So it worked. I still do that. Those are two of my three businesses. Two of them operate. One operates in the nonprofit sector, so donations can be made electronically in a secure environment, which is very, very important. And the other is for for-profit. But in the dark days where the economy was really bad in 2001, 2002, and then 2007, 2008, I needed something else. I needed to really crack open new connections through friends of mine. I had always been a networker throughout my career. I love people. I love connecting people. I love to see how people are interconnected with each other. And a friend of mine in Dallas called me up. He goes, "Hey, there's this thing called LinkedIn. You should look into it." I said, "Ah, you know, I don't need that. I've got 3 Rolodexes on my desk." You remember Rolodex? I'm looking at
it. Yeah.
Right. Not many people do, but a Rolodex is basically a card file that's on a wheel, and you would put a business card in the Rolodex in the sleeve, and that would be how you would contact people. And in 2001, and then later, people were moving around all over the place, and you know there was the electronic business bubble and all that, so people were moving crazy, and you couldn't keep track of people. So there's 3 Rolodexes. One was the Rolodex of people I knew, they were still there. The other was people that I knew had moved on, but I didn't want to lose their card because I forget who they are. And the third Rolodex are people I just couldn't bear to lose the card because I'd never remember them ever for the rest of my life. And I always believe that people come back around. There's this amazing rotation that goes on in the world. And everybody, all the good people know each other. So he said, "Look into LinkedIn." And I did. And I started to see the value. And then I started going to classes, and I started hearing teachers teaching LinkedIn, and I started hearing questions that they were being asked, and I started hearing them answering questions incorrectly. And I said to myself, "You fool, you're paying for this class. You should be teaching this class." And I did. And I started doing it. And that was like 9 years ago. And I haven't looked back yet. Like you said, 2 books, 3 e-courses under my belt, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients who have been able to talk about themselves in ways that we were speaking about earlier, because they don't want to. They don't know how to. They think the world's going to come knock at their door. And that's just not the way the world works. So it's, I don't work for LinkedIn. I should have started saying that earlier on in this podcast, but I am an independent LinkedIn consultant. There are hundreds of us around the world. We collaborate with each other. I call it co-opetition. We cooperate and we compete with each other. And it's a lovely, lovely relationship. And business comes from it. People lay off business on me on them, because there are areas that are not, I'm not an expert in, or I can't do justice to the client that they're looking for. So it's fun. And keep meeting people around the world who are you and others who are doing things that are fascinating. And I never stop being amazed at the interconnectivity.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that really strikes me about the whole internet is the ability to connect with people around the world. Now, during my corporate career, I traveled a lot. I had an international career, and I was lucky enough to be able to connect with lots of people throughout the world through that. But that was only possible because my company put me in a position where I had to travel, and you know, they paid for that travel, and so I got to meet people all around the world. Well, now you don't need to have that.
Not at all.
You just get on the internet, and LinkedIn is just such a beautiful tool for starting to build those connections. Yeah.
Well, like you, I had I was responsible in a $1 billion corporation for North and South America, and so I was flying up and down and up and down all the time. And the people that were working for me and with me were just the most lovely people. I mean, engaging and happy and friendly, and just doing everything that they could to make the large corporation do better. And they didn't want to lose them because they had become such fast friends. Now, I'm still in touch with them 19 years later. We wish each other happy work anniversary. We wish each other, you know, a happy promotion to, or they go to another job. And it's like it never stopped. It never ended. So it's just a wonderful way to just keep the warmth going. And I'm all about the warmth of people helping each other in times in ways that they don't expect.
Yeah. Well, you touched on something there that I'll come back to a little bit later, which is the human relationship part of these online tools like LinkedIn to keep established relationships going, and also to build new relationships. But one of the things you said earlier was that you attended these courses and you thought, you know, what people are saying there is, or teaching there is actually wrong. So what are some of the big misconceptions around LinkedIn that you see that are still around today?
Oh, okay. Well, the top on my list is it's just for job seekers.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who say, and I teach lawyers and other professionals all the time, I don't need it. I'm going to be in this firm for the rest of my life. I'm a partner. I don't need this. Well, no, that's not the case. This is not a job board on steroids or on electron, as I might say. This is a way to keep in touch with people and to share the knowledge that we all have with each other, and to work and rub off of each other's knowledge to make everybody do better as a result. So when you can connect yourself to good people early on, you have to connect to people you know, people that you want to invite into your proverbial house. You don't just let anybody off the street into your house. Yeah. That's the other thing that really gets me fried, and that is I get people wanting to connect to me all the time from all over the world, which is wonderful and it's a compliment, but I don't have anything in common with them. I can't help them 51% to their 49% to me. And I send them back a very nice note. I'm sorry, but my policy is I only connect to people I've gotten to know well in business. This is not qualified for my requirement. And thank you very much. If you care to follow me on LinkedIn, you certainly can and see all the material I put out there, and I'll follow you. And some pushback once in a while. People just get all insulted. Oh, you don't want to bite me. You don't know who I am. You don't know how amazing I am. Well, you're not telling me how amazing you are by sending me probably a boilerplate connection request on LinkedIn, which looks like, hi, I'm needy, I'm lonely, connect to me.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't even take the time to write anything. So they just click the button.
Right.
Which is, I realized the other day, because I did a connection request on the mobile app, and I realized there you have to be really careful, because the default there is that it just sends the connection request. It doesn't open up the opportunity to add a conversation, which you
one get more click. You just needed one more click and you would have found it, you know, and then you'll never do that again.
Because I won't,
You learn, you know, you learn.
Because typically, if I get a request with nothing on it, I might take the time to check the person out, but typically that kind of falls through my filter. Whereas, you know, if somebody sends me a request and says, you know, I'd like to connect because we're in the same groups, or we both know Mark Halpert, or you know, you're in an area that I'm really interested in, or I've heard your podcast and I really liked it and I'd like to kind of see how we can help one another, that to me then is an invitation that I will respond to.
I'll respond to it after I've looked at their profile. If I still don't get it by looking at their profile, then I don't connect. So let's talk about another thing that gets me excited or in the wrong way, and that is people who take their resume and copy paste it, or their CV, and copy paste it onto LinkedIn. This is not factoid and bullet points. This is a narrative. This is me talking to Jürgen right now. This is Jürgen talking to me. So if you open my LinkedIn profile, and you did, I saw you did that this afternoon, and I've looked at yours a few times, I want to see how you express yourself. I want to see where the balance is. I want to see what you are honing in on, that I can help you and you can help me. Like I said, I'll help you 51% to your 49%. It's as even a playing field as I know. If your profile opens up to me after a really boring request and it's equally or less or more boring than the request, you are gone. You don't even get a response. And some people say it's snarky, which is a term we use over here, and that is like a little bit nasty, but I have 3,100 connections and I know all of them. I've got great ability to draw upon the knowledge base that's out there. Is it somebody who I need to add to my, well, we'll see. So I might make a decision to connect to somebody. And then what I do is I onboard them. I send them an article that I read recently. I say, hey, Jürgen, really enjoyed talking to you. Here's an article you might appreciate. Would love your thoughts. Okay. Burden's on you. You got to respond. If you don't respond, I might do it one more time. And if you don't respond twice, you get the two strikes and you're out. In my world, it wasn't meant to be. So I expect people to give of themselves probably somewhat as much as I give to them. And it's an important aspect of how we interface with each other or connect with each other, because if it's a weak connection, I don't need it in my chain. It messes things up. So what if somebody said to me, I'm looking for a podcaster who has experience in consumer products in Australia, who did all this. Yes, I know the guy. It's Jürgen. Let me introduce you to Jürgen. And if you don't represent yourself well, it impacts me and impacts the person who I've introduced you to. He says, what's wrong with Mark? He's connecting with people who aren't that good.
Yeah.
So it's not just one-on-one. It's the whole chain of the connectivity of all that. So That's another thing. The other thing that I really don't like is that LinkedIn's really hard to use. And I wish it weren't. And it's of all the social media, it is probably the densest with the best hidden goodies. And you really got to dig for this stuff. So as I teach or as I write and lecture, I tell you where the goodies are. And you can open the goodies. But if you open them and don't do good with them, don't do well with them, you've wasted your time. You've got to make it reflect well on the total package, not what do you do, not what did you do, but Simon Sinek, who I'm sure you're familiar with, why do you do what you do? If you can't answer why, you failed yourself, you're failing your clients, and you're failing your prospects. And the prospects don't give you a second chance. They flee. They go to the competitor, because the competitor is probably talking about why. Always talking about you have to be better than average. You've got to be, if you're amazing, you've got to be amazinger than you really come across. If you don't come across as amazinger than the competitor, you lost the battle.
Yeah, well, there's lots of great advice there. And I think one of the things you touched on, or one of the themes I think throughout all of that is the relationship part. And if we go back to your days, your days with the Rolodex, we had the Rolodex on the thing. The idea of the Rolodex and the ability to actually roll through it and why it was on the desk was that you then had the ability to have a look at the person's contact, have a look at some information you've got stored about them there, and then pick up the phone and actually call them.
Oh, my God. People call?
And have a chat with them, which is the equivalent of what you're talking about on LinkedIn, of once you make the connection, you say, hey, I found this article that I think you might be interested in, and the person hopefully will respond to you and say, well, yeah, I agree, or I don't agree, or here's something else I found that's related to that, and share something back. And that begins a conversation, which starts the relationship.
And I've just laid the seeds for what could be a nurturing relationship, which will expand beyond all capabilities, all expectations. Mm. And that's wonderful. Doesn't happen often because people are largely lazy and they're largely introspective and they don't want to put themselves out from themselves to try to help other people. But there's a few 3,000 wonderful people in my connection group who know that that's the deal. If you're going to connect with me, I'm going to call on you from time to time to help out somebody else who's in need. Whether you're a competitor, as I talked about in the co-opetition, or you're a colleague, or you're just in another business where you have an interest in something or other. So I really push hard to find connectivity amongst people and to bring the good people together. I did that this afternoon in New York. I was meeting with two other people. One's an old-time colleague of mine, long, long-time colleague, wonderful guy. And one is a new colleague of mine, and we're going to do a presentation together. And I'm trying to bring together the three of us, and I made them read each other's LinkedIn profile. You'd be amazed. I had to make them do that, but okay. Mm. And they saw where I was coming from because each had done a pretty good job of talking about their expertise. And I'm just synthesizing our three areas of expertise into a presentation. They're off to being fast friends and great colleagues. And that makes me feel great inside. The connectivity is so important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that you've highlighted something there that I think is often overlooked. And that's, you know, people jump onto the social media sites like LinkedIn. And one of the things that really gets up my nose is if I have a fresh connection, the first correspondence I get from them. So their onboarding process is, hey, I've got this wonderful product or this wonderful thing. Are you interested in having a conversation about it? And basically the initiating a sales process. And I've just connected to you. I don't really know you yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. But what?
It's like letting the Fuller Brush Man in your front door before you even know what he has to sell. I imagine that image is familiar to you. But, you know, anybody who comes to your door and wants to sell something, I'm immediately suspect.
Yeah.
And I just don't give it away. You've got to earn my keep, my respect. So yeah, we see this all the time. I get this from certain countries in particular where they think they can just drop in and sell me any bill of goods that I'm willing to get or to buy. Or I get it from people who say, you know, so-and-so, drop a name, so-and-so told me to call you, I'll contact that person. And they'll say, I never told him to call you. It's so out of line. So, yeah, I mean, that's another one of those things. If you let me go on long enough, I'll tell you everything I don't like about LinkedIn, but I'll tell you all the great stories that I've had from LinkedIn and why that's so important.
Yeah, well, the story you've just shared, I think, highlights one of the things that people overlook a lot on these platforms when you start building relationships. There's opportunities there to meet up with people that you can partner with and do something together with, because when you're out on business on your own, it can get pretty lonely and you can get stuck pretty easily on things where, you know, I've got something right now I'm dealing with where I'm stuck a little bit and I think, oh, I don't know how to deal with that. And the ability to have somebody that you can go to and say, you know, do you have experience in this area? Can you help me with this? And perhaps even work together is one that I think is overlooked.
And that person you go to say, can you help me? They may not be able to help you, but I do know somebody else who can help you because I know this other person is really good at what they do. So let me introduce you, Jürgen, to my friend Sally, and I'll be the conduit. I'll make it work and I'll introduce the two of you. And then you two go to it and see what happens. Mm. And great stories. Great collaboration comes from this stuff. People have written books together. They've won major contracts that way. I mean, it's wonderful to feel that, but you have to know the person you're dealing with here. Mm. You have to know them beyond just somebody who knocks on your door. It takes years.
Yeah, that's right. And just like any relationship, it doesn't happen in an instant.
Shouldn't. You know, when you hit on something about electronic communication, and that is on LinkedIn, You can send verbal messages with the intonation in your voice. You can send, it's better than the flat email or email messages that you can do on LinkedIn. And is that important? Yeah, in certain cases, and if you use it wisely, it's very, very important. Like, I need your help. Sounds a lot better than just, I need your help. And you know, I'm stuck. Well, how stuck are you? I mean, what are you stuck on? Give me some information. Call me as soon as you can. So anything where you can create a sense of urgency, correct urgency, not false urgency, then that gets attention. It's how you say it on your LinkedIn profile and what you say. So you have to choose your words and your language very carefully. You have to use power verbs. Ignore verbs like was, had, made, did. Because you're making a business presentation to another business expert. So use good words. So if you need a great source of power verbs, Google 185 power verbs, and there's an article out there which will just wow you because it's such a great source. So it's much easier to find the right verb that shows your ability to articulate your concepts, your self-meaning, your self-worth in a way that a reader will say, wow, this is pretty interesting. I didn't know that. I want to put this person on the short list of consideration for a call. Because you just don't get a call out of the blue. You got to earn that call. And if it's you and a competitor, a couple of competitors, you want to have a pretty good even playing field chance to get that call. You have to impress them. Make it all elevator pitch type language. Make them want to know more. Make them want to read down, down, down as far as you can get them to read, because we're attention deficit these days, very attention deficit. Make people curious. What can this person do for me? Do I need that person now? And that's the golden rule. Of course, it's hard and it doesn't just fall out of the sky. It doesn't happen your first time you write it. You have to write and rewrite and rewrite. And I'm still, after 12 years, rewriting my profile. It's still not where I want it to be, but it's getting better every single time because I'm changing. So my profile has to change. My impact's changing.
Well, one of the things, I mean, you touched there on constantly changing and improving the profile. That, you know, people write their profile on LinkedIn and then just leave it there. It's not, you can actually go in and edit it. So
you should.
you can keep changing it. So get something up there that's as good as you can make it right now, and then just review it fairly regularly. And the other thing I was just going to say is I've discovered recently, and particularly for messaging, this can be very good, is you can actually put a video in a LinkedIn message.
Oh, yeah.
This is a way to get around the, if you're not connected to somebody on LinkedIn and you send them a connection request and write in the connection request why you'd like to connect, you're restricted to, and I can't remember the number of characters. Often I find myself, I've run out of characters and I haven't even said what I wanted to say.
Exactly. So
a trick is put a video on.
But be sure it's a great video.
It's good. Yeah.
You don't look like a bumbling fool, you know, because a lot of people get in front of a camera and go, they don't answer it out. So, that's a great tip for a lot of people. If you're comfortable and adept at using video, and how do you get comfortable and adept at using video? You use it a lot. You practice. So yeah, completely there with you. Completely agree.
Mm. All right. Now, one of the things you mentioned is about having a good profile. And before we started recording, you talked about that people find it really hard to talk about themselves anywhere, let alone on LinkedIn or in any other public forum. And part of that is because in Western society in particular, it's trained out of us. I suspect that might be the case in most societies, that, you know, when we're young children, we're, look at me, I've done this, and we're kind of proud of what we've done, and we share that completely innocently without thinking about it, and yet it's trained out of us. So why do you think that's so hard to talk about ourselves on LinkedIn? And I've got a double question here. Let's start with why do you think it's so hard for us?
We were taught as children, don't talk about yourself. Don't say too much. Don't be rambunctious. Be quiet, sit in class, be exactly who you are. And that has really pushed a lot of personalities down. The personalities that do well are the ones who are not afraid of using their accomplishments to speak volumes in terms of who they are and what they do. So talk about your accomplishments, talk about the things you did that are high level, comparatively easy to translate into another position or into another role at another organization that you want to work with, and show the value that you bring with you, not what you did. I saved the company $10 million. Well, that doesn't mean anything because at the time the company was $100 billion and $10 million was you know, a rounding error. So don't tell me you trained, you saved $10 million. Tell me what you did that made saving the $10 million a unique experience. So it's not laying out fact and expecting people to absorb meaning of it. Tell us the meaning. So people are afraid to talk about what they did or why they did it because they're afraid that they're going to look wrong or look not approachable. If you're an approachable person, you will find a language. You will, and then you know what? It's okay to talk about yourself. There is a rule amongst us LinkedIn coaches. It's called the 80-20 rule. You can talk about other people for 80%. 20% is okay for you to talk about yourself. So I sort of make it 90-10 because I don't really want to. And I'm, as you see, I am on LinkedIn multiple times a day, certainly once a day, every weekday, because I have a weekday blog that's about a LinkedIn topic. So it goes into LinkedIn. But I always put something in there like, today I met somebody who needed this, that, or the other. I suggested he look into source of information or this organization. And by the way, if this is something you'd like to know more about, contact me and I'll be able to direct you in the right place. So I'm bringing the attention to me, but on behalf of somebody else. And there's lots and lots of ways to show the ability for you to be the fulcrum to make things happen. And that in turn reflects well on you.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it comes back to one of the things that, you know, I talk about quite a bit, and a lot of the people I work with talk about also, in particularly when you're composing an about page on your website, that whilst it's about you, you've got to present the value that you present to the potential client, to the reader of that. And also you've got to give them a sense of who you are, why you do what you do, and, you know, a representation of your values and your ethics and so on. So a lot of that requires talking about yourself, but talking about yourself in a way that is focused on the value you bring to the other people. So that, in a sense, that to me is like your 80-20 or 90-10 rule.
But when you do that on your website, you're writing to the universe, anybody who comes across. When you're doing this on LinkedIn, on your intro section, which is where your elevator pitch type material goes, you're writing to and talking to the audience of business professionals. You're going to say something different in your intro section than you're going to say about who we are on your website. You're going to talk to the audience. You can't talk to your audience or don't know who your audience is. You're wasting a tremendous amount of energy trying to beat your head against the wall to find the client. That's not going to happen. So when you talk to somebody and they're looking you in the eye as you're writing, reading to them as they're reading you on LinkedIn, that's where they fall in, as I say, like with you. You want them to pick up the phone or email you or something to fall in love with you because you reinforce what they already read. So you need to know what you have out there and you need to tailor the verbal part of it to what the person's looking for in the conversation. And you can't be, dissonant. You can't say something on the phone that is in complete, you know, opposite of what you've done on LinkedIn. Because that's a disconnect. And disconnects mean goodbye, click, I've had enough of you.
That's right.
And they never come back.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I think, you know, that that's a fundamental concept of marketing that is often overlooked. People think, oh, I have this wonderful marketing strategy and I've got all this stuff put together in my marketing plan, and it's not working. And that's because there's that disconnect that you've said. It's not congruent right throughout. And I think to me, that comes back to being really clear about the why. And if you can then, for example, on LinkedIn, on the LinkedIn profile, really articulate that why, but articulate it for yourself and also in a way that other people understand, that I think is a foundation for keeping that congruence.
I agree with you. And if you're like me and you have three businesses and people go, well, wait a minute, this is crazy. What's wrong with this guy? You have to say in your own words, in my words, the why is I am completely client-centric. You get 110% of me as my client. That's what draws all of this together. I want to treat you like you want to be treated the way I want to be treated. And that's so impossible these days to find. And I want to be that person who gives just that extra bit of tender, loving care to the client. So I always tell the client, you'll hate me at first, you'll love me for the rest of your life. This is, I have to put you through the paces to change your behavior or change things. You'll that little doll is going to have that little pin in it. I'm getting a headache. It's okay. I can handle that. I've had that all my career. I want you to understand that ultimately this is an investment you're making in you. I'm just facilitating that investment. And it will pay off. And you will thank me someday, whether you do it verbally or not. And while that sounds self-centered, it's wonderful to run up to people. Like I did this morning. People came up to me and said, you know, I listened to one of your podcasts or whatever, and I did some of the things you did. And wouldn't you know it? Somebody repeated that back to me on a telephone call. Mm. So what did that do? He said, that meant that they were reading me with an open mind, and they came to me to learn more. And just what I was saying. Tell them, you tell them again, you tell them what you told them. It's so important.
Hmm. All right. Now, earlier on in our conversation, you mentioned some of the hidden tricks. Well, you said that LinkedIn was a little bit difficult to use, but that there were some hidden tricks and so on. Can you give us a couple of examples of that just for the listener hidden to tricks. Take away and play with?
Hidden tricks. One is you need to talk about yourself using the pronoun I throughout your LinkedIn profile.
Hmm.
Not Mr. Strauss or not Jürgen Does, but I and power verb. And that, you'll never read that anywhere. That's something that I've come up with. Those are the people I identify best with when they're speaking to me, even if it's on a screen, as if they're actually in my ear. They're talking to me. That's really important. Don't be afraid to use the pronoun I. You also need to use the right verb tense for the right section of your profile. The LinkedIn hidden, there's not so much hidden as that people don't talk about this. LinkedIn allows you to talk about your past leads to your present. Your present indicates where you expect your future to go. The right verb tense throughout. Speak about everything. Make it all read like chapter one leads to chapter two. Chapter two leads to chapter three. Don't come in on chapter four and expect me to really figure out what's happened in chapters one through three. Mm. I'm not going to work that hard. So make it easy and simple, conversational, yet business-oriented for the reader, and they will respect you. I get a lot of requests for information. I get a lot of people who want a piece of me. I have to be careful, but these are the types of things I like them to understand and take away. I'm particularly right now doing a lot of work with baby boomers, people who were born between 1946 and 1964, who in this country, a lot of them are losing positions, that they've been in a corporation for a long time, and they're looking to see what's their next big, the next hurrah at the end of their career. And many of them are going into business for themselves. So these are ideas that are really important for them. They have to clearly articulate where they come from, makes them valuable as a consultant today, and how they can help your organization as a consultant down the road. So before the past, present, future is really important. Another thing that I speak a lot about is being sure that the audience understands no jargon, no acronyms, or if you're going to use an acronym, identify it, make it clear. There's nothing worse than working with, I had one client who was, two PhDs and three masters in a very arcane area of biological science. And she's throwing out stuff like this. I did studies on this and this combinant RNA, DNA, blah, you know, whatever it was. And I just shut down on her. What are you talking about? So be sure that you know that not everybody who's reading your profile is in your field. Hmm. They may have been referred to you for whatever reason. You're never going to see that anywhere. You have to, they're going to shut you out, and they'll never come back if they get lost in what you're talking about. So there's just so many things to take a step back, a 30,000-foot view, as to how you're coming across to a stranger to be sure that they want to know more about you and be less a stranger. Another thing is, don't expect to build business on LinkedIn. It's only one aspect of your branding technology, branding strategy, and it's part of all the other things you do in the other media you use, whether it's verbal media or electronic media or writing or whatever, articles and books and e-courses and all the things you're going to do. You have to be able to tell the reader, any way you want to learn, I have a way to teach you. You choose the method, I'm happy to be there for you. Yeah. You'll see that anywhere.
All right. Well, this is absolutely fascinating, Mark. I could go on for ages exploring your knowledge on LinkedIn and talking.
Well, I'll go on for ages talking to you.
But I am looking at the time. I'm aware of how long we've been going for, and I think it's a good point to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round for the audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field. And what we're trying to do is get some tips from your experience. And I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really snappy, insightful answers that all inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today.
Okay.
So what do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
To be innovative on LinkedIn or any other way that you're marketing is to tell your why. Not your what, not your how. Why is the most important thing. If you do not know the book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, you must see it. You must read it. If you don't want to read it, you must see the TED Talk he has on YouTube. You must absorb this and see it frequently to get every aspect of it.
Yeah, and we'll
link, your why.
We'll link to that in the show notes as well as all the other assets. But yeah, that's certainly, I can echo that. That's a wonderful TED Talk, and the book is fabulous advice. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I write my tail off. I love to write. You can find me at 6 a.m. in my office writing blog posts, articles. I wrote an article yesterday on LinkedIn called Paleopreneurship. So we are entrepreneurs and we only hunt and gather.
Yeah.
And everything we hunt and gather, we eat or we save and bring back to the village. And I just kind of riffed on that. And it's new ideas. It's stuff that people haven't talked. So I love the ability to be creative while having a LinkedIn twist to make sure that people understand that there are things that you can do on LinkedIn that might just take you out of your comfort zone, but that's a good thing to do. So I love to get out of my comfort zone and just have a good time with stuff.
Yeah. And I love that style of writing where you know, people take some aspect and kind of translate it into a completely different context and relate the two and make it so engaging and captivating that it first of all, it's really interesting and keeps your attention right to the end, but is like a story. But secondly, the message is really clear, even at an unconscious level.
And you're going to get some bad puns in there, and there might be a little bit of humor because that's what makes the world go round. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Yeah, and it shows your personality, right?
Oh, yeah. People want to enjoy other people's knowledge base. They want to find, no one wants to sit and listen to a boring lecture. You want to make it fun. I try to make my sessions fun.
All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often other than LinkedIn?
I come up with ideas from the wildest places. I might see something, it might spark something. I jot it down, I keep it, I play with it a little bit. 6 months later, I might come back to it. I take a lot of influence from the people I meet and get to know and hear what they are twisting and turning with. And to me, it's just interacting with other people. That's my greatest source of inspiration.
All right. And certainly, you know, that does give you the variety that you outlined. So it's great.
Well, I'm lucky to be within, you know, driving distance in New York City. And, you know, you call me a chauvinist, but I think New York has absolutely incredible people who have amazing ideas. Not all the ideas in the world, but I get into New York and I just go crazy. I enjoy the cultural and the idea interplay that occurs. And it's just so much to take in that it creates better in me. So I love it. New York. I'm a New York file. I love it.
All right. Okay. Now, what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Set goals and dates and don't let them stray from the dates you set. I've got a client right now, and I will tell you it doesn't work all the time, but they are off track. and they lose interest and they don't see me haranguing them, I need to harangue them tomorrow morning. They're going to hear from me because they're just wasting their time and my time and losing the time value of money. They can save money by doing credit card processing better with me, and they know it, but they just can't get their head around it. So a lot of it's the fear of the unknown, or it's the fear of doing something different, and that always scares the pants off of people. In my world, I say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is the scenario, and these are the dates we're going to meet, and this is when I'll be able to accomplish this for you. I promise you that, but you got to meet me, and I got to meet you. We got to meet each other's timelines. Is that going to work? Tell me now so I understand how the relationship's going to go. And sometimes they're like, oh my God, you know, this guy's really, you know, he's a taskmaster. It's good. Yeah. It's good to be that way because I do this for a living. This is my profession. Hmm. You don't want your doctor to say, hey, you know, let the test go. It's all right. No big deal. You know, it's an important test, but yeah, I'll do it a few months from now. And there's no time for this. So when I'm dealing with people's money, that's as close to their heart as anything. That's their wallet. Hmm. They need to know that I'm finding the way to get them where they need, they know they need to be. I just need to get them there. So it's all about timing.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what's the number one thing? I think I know the answer to this one, but we'll let you say it. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Just talk about yourself.
Yeah.
Really find the words. You know, we were talking earlier about renovating your LinkedIn profile, and that is a job that takes a lot of time. You need to outline it. You need to write each section of it so that all the other sections interplay. And you need to make sure that it all makes sense from the 30,000 foot view. Hmm. If it doesn't, they leave. So really sit down, and it takes a lot of crumpled up paper, or it's going to take a lot of different screens on your computer. And that one tip you were asking before, one tip I like my clients to do is if you're having trouble writing your intro or writing your headline or writing your experience section, put it down. Go write something else. Come back to it. If you really think that by Saturday morning I'm going to finish my intro, come hell or high water, then on Tuesday, write one edition of it, save it on your screen. Wednesday, when you're fresh again, write another edition of it, save it on your screen. Take about 5 or 6 different iterations of that section. Take a yellow highlighter, an old-fashioned yellow highlighter, highlight the best in each page that you've printed, and then merge them together. It works every time, especially when people are stuck, because there's little tidbits that you come up with each time you sit down for a task that you didn't do the day before. You have different influences on you, different things are coming out of your head. Try it. It works. So that's a great tip that really, really works. I came up with it because I've been stuck in various places writing proposals or whatever. I'd say, oh, this is horrible. I got to get rid of it. Let's write a better proposal. Mm. All over again, and it keeps getting better.
Yeah, yeah. That's really great advice. So thanks for that. Now, thanks for the whole conversation, Mark. This has been fabulous. I sort of learned a lot. And now, where can people learn more about you, reach out and perhaps even say thank you and contact you on LinkedIn? I guess that's the best place, is it?
You said it. You said it. So you go to linkedin.com/in/ Mark Halpert, MarkHalpert. You'll find my profile. And if you're not connected to me, you'll see my public profile. It's pretty much the same as my private profile. We didn't even talk about any of that stuff. There's all these tips that stuff you can do. But nonetheless, that's me talking to you. If you like what you see and you think there's some common ground and you want to engage with me, tell me how I can help you. Send me a note. I'm not going to connect to just everybody who comes to me. I might not even connect to anybody who sends me a note. But if you would like to follow me and see what I'm producing on a regular basis, to follow me is the best way to see the sum total of my thought process, the thought leadership that I'm putting out on LinkedIn, and I'm doing it on Facebook, and I'm doing it on Twitter, so you can find me there too, all different ways. But my company is called Connect to Collaborate, the number 2. And I really believe that as we connect and we collaborate with each other, just the world gets smaller and we all benefit each other. And that's why I named it that.
Hmm. Oh, great. Thanks for that. And we'll have a link to your LinkedIn profile and the other social media and the website on the show notes for this episode. Now, what kind of number one piece of parting advice would you leave the listener today that they can go away and take action on and enhance their leadership and innovation skills?
Don't be afraid to admit you screwed up. Don't be afraid to admit that your LinkedIn profile is worthy of trashing and starting fresh. Don't be afraid of thinking that there's a better way to get paid electronically, because there are all over the world. It's no one organization owns all the goodies. So keep pushing harder and keep challenging yourself, and you will find the right partners to use. Find the right coach if it's a LinkedIn coach. Find the right coach if you need a life coach. Find the right person who can get you out from being stuck. I meet people who are stuck, and they should never be stuck. Even very successful professionals who are stuck internally, externally, they look like they're kicking everything, you know, like doing everything they should be doing and making a ton of money. They're winning all the battles. Internally, they're like nuts. They're crazy. They're having a hard time. Find the things that you like to do. Talk about the things you do on the side. Like, I have lots of attorneys who are chefs or stand-up comics because they work in a very dry area and they want to be creative. They want to hear people laugh. They want to hear people enjoy themselves. They don't get to do that in their regular job. Talk about these things. Make yourself more interesting than just the profile that you're showing. I make pickles. I bake bread. I'm really into fermentation. I don't normally say that. I used to say it on LinkedIn, but I don't say that a lot. But everybody who goes to one of my sessions, I talk about these things because I'm just not a LinkedIn guy or not an electronics payments guy. I got a lot of other stuff going on because it's fun. I'm sure you do too. We've never even touched on that.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Well, see, I learned something about you there because I like to bake bread as well.
Oh, good.
I'm not into,
wonderful.
Yeah, not into pickles, but baking bread. So maybe I should.
But you could be into pickles. You should be into pickles.
I could be into pickles, yeah. All right. Well, now we had a bit of a chat earlier. You were going to take the next question, which was the one about who should I chat with on a future podcast offline. So we'll come back to that, and I'll probably have something on the outro for the show that usually follows the conversation that we have. So stay tuned for that.
Okay.
Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us today. So generally,
my pleasure.
I really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot, both about you and your bread baking and pickle making interest. And
just don't leave it there. There's more to that.
Yeah. Also about LinkedIn and a whole lot of tips around using LinkedIn. So I hope this is of value to our listener, and I've really enjoyed it immensely and learned a lot. And let's keep in touch.
I hope so. I intend to do that. Thanks, Jürgen. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that wonderfully informative conversation with Mark and took something away from his episode. One of the highlights for me was how to write a LinkedIn profile that engages your audience in a way that highlights the value that you offer. I'd love to know what you took away from Mark's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/MarkHalpert. That is MarcHalpert, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/MarkHalpert. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Mark there, as well as links to the Connect to Collaborate website, to his social media pages, in particular LinkedIn, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Mark suggested we have a conversation with David Schreiner Kahn, entrepreneur and podcaster, and with Alice Aspen March, author of The Attention Factor, on future InnovaBuzz podcast episodes. So David and Alice, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Mark Halpert. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. But most importantly, it will enable you in less than 30 minutes to gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or our help with producing your very own podcast, even launching your very own podcast if you don't yet have one, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we can set up a quick call to have a short conversation and find out whether we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Dr. Catherine Lloyd, founder and director of Maverick Minds, and business strategist Ken Foster, the author of The Courage to Change Everything. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.